Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Roundtable, the podcast that's here and there and everywhere. In this episode, we talk about Deblockle, the Emmys, upcoming TV shows, and Tenet. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So pack your bags and book your trip, because these travelers are leaving the station.
I'm going to Deblublin.
Kick every episode off by going around the table, which is where we talk about something new, fun, and noteworthy about our weeks. Lauren, looking at you, kid.
Okay. I had a really boring
okay. Okay.
I've turned into a robot from being at my computer so long this week.
I am ready to talk about my week. Very relatable.
Okay. This week, I had a very boring week. I mainly just ended up working a lot, but I read a book in my spare time, and that is Howl's Moving Castle. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard of the movie, but not a lot of people know that it's based on a book. It's not a super tight adaptation of the book, so I don't think a lot of people like mention it, but the book is really good. I first read it like a really long time ago and just kind of wanted to get a fun adventure read, like I mentioned last week. So I did that, and I really enjoyed it again. It's just kind of a fun like kids book, mostly like young adult readers. It's by Diana Wynne Jones, and I used to be a huge fan of her work when I was a kid, and I also really like the Crestomancy series she did. So it's just a good book if you're into something that doesn't take very long to read. It was really fun.
It's called The House of what?
Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Howl's Moving Castle. All right.
What is it? I've heard of, is it like, it's animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's animated?
Yeah, it's a Ghibli movie.
Oh, okay. So
it's not so just any animated movie.
It should be
movie.
Really good.
Yeah.
I love that when you say that it's by that studio, I can immediately picture like the art style of it.
Yeah. I love that one. It's one of my favorite ones, but it is like very different from the book. And if I had to pick one as a favorite, I do much prefer the book, but it's different. So like the movie's still really good.
I can't carry a conversation about books, everyone.
Yeah,
the
no,
only...
that's... That's become
nor animated
really
movies, which I guess is not really a good thing.
Especially
but,
animated movies based on a book. Like you're, I love that you're trying though. Like it's clear that you're making an effort.
Hey, we have people listening that don't have the same taste as well, so maybe somebody out there will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I find out that the movie Showgirls featuring Elizabeth Berkley was based on a book, I'll start reading. But until then,
someone's probably written a
I'm
book
so
based
excited.
On it now.
I'm so excited.
I'm so scared. Don't take caffeine pills, kids.
That's the moral of Lauren's around the table.
It is. Oh, yeah. My mom came in randomly to visit, and we had time to go to dinner, which was nice. It's just good to see her. I miss my mom.
Did you see where you might get a high-speed train from Houston to Dallas?
Like,
I shared
happening?
That article in Host Lounge.
Oh, well, I think I missed it. Sorry.
They got the next stage of approval. Like, what will happen is that groups will lobby against it because I'm sure it'll, like, destroy the environment.
I feel like
or
they've been talking about this
whatever.
For a long time, the, like, bullet train.
It'll never happen.
Yeah.
It'll never. It's so frustrating, the technology that exists and the woods and, like, the coulds and that are out there that we just won't see because, you know, opposing groups fighting. So, but it's apparently it got, like, the next step of federal approval to put in, like, a bullet train from Houston, Dallas, which would be insanely awesome.
Is it also including like to Austin? Because like I remember that being like the original rumor, but this was like when I first moved to Houston like 8 years ago, so it might have changed by now.
Well, so I don't know if that's the same project or a different project.
Oh, okay.
But there was one that was talked about, yeah, getting from San Antonio to Austin, but you could make the trip in like 20 minutes.
Oh, no, it was
like going to
be like Houston, Austin, and Dallas on like basically like a triangle that you would send this train
I
on.
Hope it's that one.
Because that would be
I
amazing.
Hope it's that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, get up in the morning, run up to Dallas and grab lunch. Mm-hmm. That would be great. I mean, I guess technically you can do that depending on how early you get up in the morning.
It's,
but I'd rather
you can
like
do it very inconveniently.
Lazily go. Yeah. Yeah. And then we could come visit you.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. I was like, just do it to Austin. It'd be so much better.
Well, we went. Okay, so I'm stealing the spotlight from you.
No, it's good because I don't have much to say this week.
last week I was sad. I was a mess last week. This week's better. I signed a much needed contract. I've got a product that's about to launch. My world suddenly has a moon and stars and a sun again. There is a light over that ridge. So very excited about those things. And because of that, I've basically changed nothing. And I've been consuming more iOS games, TV shows, movies, all that kind of stuff. So there are two things I just want to mention around the table. I'm most excited to get out of this around the table because I really want to talk about Tenet, which is the first time I've stepped in a theater since February. So I need to hurry up to the master categories. So I'm going to get through this real quick. iOS, I've been playing Asphalt 9. You can play it for free. There is a ton of content and a ton of progression. So if you choose to play for free, you're going to be playing a really long time with a lot of really slow cars. So join my world. But if you're looking for something to pass time, I've really enjoyed this game because you can the graphics look fantastic. The races are super short. Races are as short as like 25 seconds or as long as like a minute and 30 seconds. So the point is that every one of them is super speedy, which is great for an iOS game. That makes sense. It's bite-sized. But on top of that, control, you can determine how fine a control you want. So you can steer by tilting your phone, or you can just let the computer do that. And then you can just focus on like only working the brakes. So I like that depending on, you can have something bite-sized and it can be as simple or as in-depth as you want it to be. And I love the way they've set it up. And again, looks beautiful, ton of content. So if you want a racing game, if you're looking for some way to burn time, if you're stuck on that train going from Houston to Dallas, check out Asphalt 9. You're not going to get through that game anytime soon. So only start playing it if you've got, if you want to jump into a long haul. I don't know there's a better way to say it. I didn't say a better way. So we did go see Tenet this week, and I want to, this is the other thing that I find. I'm also watching like some barbecue wars on Netflix. It's some like barbecue cook-off, and it's fantastic. I hope Rashid wins. It's fantastic. Okay.
The trailers for that show make my mouth water because it like comes up on Netflix all the time. Ugh, it looks good.
The show itself makes my mouth water. and again, I'm so impressed by specifically Rashid, and not just his barbecuing, but just him as a person. Like I was talking to Mackenzie, like we were watching the show. It wasn't like we're laying in bed and this came up, but I was watching this show. I was just like, I want him as a friend. Like I would gladly give up. I like you too. I'm not gonna. That was gonna be mean.
I like that you have to trade one of us to like have a new friend. You can't just like have friends.
Hey, tell you what. I'll bow out. You can
that makes it easier.
You can just go ahead and this will be our farewell to each other.
You know, but on that note, Lauren, you can't have an infinite number of friends. There was I was reading a study by a psychologist yesterday that was talking about kind of mentally how many people that you can realistically keep track of, like how many relationships you can keep track of. And actually I have the study right here. I got excited about this because it gave me permission to kind of be not mean to more people, but to just be okay with not knowing everyone. Okay, I don't know where I put that. Anyway, but the idea of this study was to say that most people have about 7 to 9 deep, meaningful relationships. And they've tracked this several ways. One way is through self-reporting when they're actually doing the study. The other way is just looking at people that use programs like Facebook and things like that to see how many people that they actually friend. So they can take averages and get an idea of roughly how many relationships people have. Most people have about 150 to 200 relationships. But of that they would consider close, like close enough to I'd call you in a time of need, anywhere from 5 to 10 people. So there's a psychologist that who studies this. One of the things that he put out that he kind of estimates is that as humans, at most, you can have 15 deep, meaningful relationships. Okay, and so that's like, I can share my whole life with you. I can tell you anything. Like, you'll be there for me. I'll be there for you, thick or thin. At most 15. For these like secondary kind of friend acquaintance area, like you know each other's names, you would invite each other to birthday parties and things like that, 50. And then the last group, which is the kind of, I know you well enough that, like, I would probably, like, I might invite you if I was going to have, like, an event with 300 people. You might make the list. That number is 150. So it's like 150 of these tertiary relationships, 50 of these we're friends and family, but then up to, these are maximums, 15 of like super deep meaningful relationships. So at a certain point, I do need friends to bow out because I like mentally you can only handle so much. All right.
I don't know how I feel about that, but
again, like,
I'm not a scientist, so.
Psychologist, probably. The reason I got so excited about it, is because it gave me permission to, like, not have to keep up relationships. Like, that sounds weird, but relationships
are... Yeah, right. You even know 50 people. That's the thing. Like, you're making this big statement, but you don't even... You know 43 people ever in your life, and half of those people are natural enemies. So,
but it's like having a good relationship with people takes time and investment, right? Now, there are other things to be said for personality style and how you actually have relationships and whatever. But I just, for me, I feel a lot of pressure of being the person that's constantly reengaging. And I think it's nice to be able to say, like, hey, you know what? This is hard, and it's okay if you choose not to reengage because, you know, if you're not in their top five or their top 10, you know, it's okay to let someone move out a rung. It's okay to let someone slip out to that secondary spot. I don't know. For me, I liked reading this stuff. It gave me permission in some areas, and I enjoyed it. But all right, so the thing I was gonna talk about some bad marketing, but I'll be very quick about it. We went and saw Tenet. On the way back from Tenet, we saw Billboard. Billboard, very, very simple. It said, "Your wife is hot." And then it was for an AC company.
Oh, and, I think I've actually seen this billboard. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I was thinking about this because I think it's horrible marketing. I think it's bad. So what I'm gonna do? I was thinking what billboards that similar vein. Okay.
Use the same timbre of and setup. Right. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I'm gonna. So this is one. And here's the thing, Andrew. We could run these and see how many like calls, or like actual inquiries we get. Like we could set up a form on a website or on a domain, see what comes up. So yeah. I'm gonna do.
I mean,
one
why are we not
like,
getting a billboard?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the first one. It's gonna be, I'm gonna fuck your aunt, and it's gonna be that's gonna be for pest control.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, so there's another one. The problem is I realized after I said I need to change the word to stuff. That's important because I was going to have another one that's like, I want to stuff your 18-year-old daughter, but then it was going to be a taxidermy service. So
I don't think you can mention human beings in that one. You have to say I want to stuff your dog. It still works. It's just weirder.
Yeah. Wait, it could say I want to have sex with your dog, but we'll cross out have sex and write in stuff on the billboard. That will kind of work. Here's my point with this. I'm so excited
to see and interested to see what actually ends up making the final episode.
I'm gonna put all this in. I don't.
Well,
care.
But what words are gonna be blurred out? Yeah. What words are gonna be?
That's true. Yeah, because I did just say.
Yeah, and you did mention. Well, I guess she's of age, so I guess that's fine.
That was important. Yeah, that was important.
That's why I didn't say 17.
People have daughters. Yeah, that are still adults.
Yes, they are adults. Yeah.
My mom has a daughter that's the same age as me because we're twins.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, cool.
Not her, though.
No, nope.
Because I didn't say my sister. But here's the... Specs does this, too. They do the whole...
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What's the thing they do? Like,
let's have Specs or whatever.
Yeah, Specs sounds like sex. We get it. Yeah. I think it's lazy. I think it's lazy. I mean,
this one in particular is sexist on like so many levels that it's just like, really? You did that in 2020?
It's sexist. That's yes. What we would say. It's sexist. Yeah, no, the like your wife is hot. It's again, I just like that's it almost feels like, okay, I like I'm fine with inappropriate humor. Clearly, I don't have a problem with it. But I would say two things. A, think long and hard about whether or not Think long and hard about whether you want to tie your business to that type of humor, because when you do that, you're making a very clear decision about what people will and won't feel comfortable interacting with you or your brand.
100%. Because if I were single, I would never call anybody that works for that company to come to the house while I was alone. Like, never.
Yeah, exactly. So, B, like, really think this through. Yeah, you might find this joke funny and maybe your friend laughs at it, but is this really how you want to present your business? But then the other piece of that would just say, it's not as clever as you think it is. That's the other thing that I would say. And you're not... You're also not talking about your product. That's the probably the final thing that bothers me, is that if you're paying the money to have a very small window, in this case it was a billboard, but this could be for any type of ad, you have a very small amount of someone's attention span, okay? I mean, you have maybe a half second or 2 seconds, or if it's a long stretch of road, maybe you got a solid like 8 seconds that they can focus on.
8 seconds is the typical when you're dealing with billboards. They say that you have 8 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
Of a person who's not driving.
Right. So let's, like, you have 8 seconds. Talk about the product. Talk about how you're going to make the person feel if they use the product. Don't potentially make them uncomfortable and insult one of their family members. don't use your 8 seconds that way. It just, man, it got under my skin. The other thing that gets under my skin is people that use advertising and they tie it to, like, religion. Now, I'm a Christian. I might need to bleep more stuff now that I just said that. I'm a Christian.
Maybe just want to bleep the Christian part. And then you can leave everything else in.
So, but my issue is that, again, you're doing two things. A, you're saying that if your beliefs don't line up with my beliefs, I don't want to deal with you. That's the first thing you're saying.
And two.
And B, you are now putting yourself in a position that you are the sole representative of everything that a person believes about that thing you're claiming to represent. So now, instead of me judging you on whether or not you're a good plumber, now I'm judging you on whether or not you're really, you're a good representation of Buddhism. You know, like, you've totally changed my and so now if I get mad at you, I'm not just getting mad at Jim the plumber, I'm getting mad at the religion of Buddhism that enabled this person to believe he's doing a good job and keeps him in business. Like, it totally, so if you are religious and you want to really protect that and what that means, and I, again, think long and hard about whether or not you want to attach it to your business, because what you're going to have is people that start confusing the service you provide with the merits of the religion that you ascribe to. So,
is the air conditioned company, was it a Christian company? Is that why where you're saying this?
No, I'm just pointing out there are other companies I've seen, like, they'll either say their name and then they'll have like a Bible verse under it, or they'll say their name and have like a cross on it, and it's just,
I see that a lot with churches.
So churches, really consider if that's how you want to advertise. Yeah. No, I mean, but I've seen it from like tire care, plumbers, all over the place.
They'll put the ichthus on the sign somewhere. Like the
fish. For those that don't know, that's like the little wire fish. It's like if you drew a stick guy, fish. But instead it was a stick fish. It's a stick fish.
Yeah.
It's a monoline. I don't know the technical name for fish. That would have been a great place to put that in.
A monoline aquatic creature.
No, what was the what was the name you said, Andrew, first?
It's called the ichthus, specifically. Ichthus. I mean, that's it right there, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So it was used in the early church when the church was being persecuted. One person would draw in the sand one line, one arch, and then if the other person in the sand would complete it with the other arch, they would then go somewhere without having to say any words. They would know that they could safely go somewhere and they were, you know, among friends. If they would draw the line in the sand and the person didn't complete it, then the person would just keep moving on and they wouldn't engage them. So it was a way of kind of having an underground church when the church was being heavily persecuted.
That's really cool. And
there's your history lesson for the day.
And
that's awesome.
These are the same people that invented bumper stickers.
Yes. And that's how it all circles back around.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, do either of y'all have any like marketing, like if you're thinking of public like marketing peeves?
Bad fonts. Like, honestly, I do. Like, if a thing is in like Comic Sans or Papyrus, I'm pretty much not going to take you seriously.
Yeah, I don't necessarily go that far because nowadays I feel like most times that those fonts get used, it's being used ironically. Typically now for yes, that's what I'm saying for me. So like when I like the things that I, the publications that I look at, the marketing that I tend to be around and look at, when I'm seeing that, most often it's being used ironically and it's part of the joke. And so for me, I don't necessarily associate that. Yeah, I don't associate it with that. But marketing peeves for me is when I see a billboard and there's more than 10 words on it. Like, yeah, it bugs the fire out of me because because it's totally useless. Or there's more than 10 words and they're like, you know, all of them are different hyper colors or whatever to catch your attention or what I'm doing air quotes to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just bad design is a pet peeve.
The fact that there's a big sign 30 feet in the air is what catches people's attention.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hate those things that say, does marketing work? It just did. I hate that garbage. Oh my gosh. I hate that garbage.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I also don't like it when
they fill up like every inch of space and don't leave any negative space. That is something that like clients request all the time because they think that that is just like valuable.
They can get 0.2% more font on it by increasing it that much. And you're like, no, listen, that you don't realize
that
that's
actually
bad.
Like 25% better if you have the font smaller.
Yeah.
And like the overall quality becomes so much higher. But it's just that's like an argument I feel like you bump into a lot. And I see it executed all the time.
Yeah.
You know, my last, I'll say one more that I've noticed that, because I agree, don't put too much text, because if you put a lot of text, either the layout is going to suffer or the readability is going to suffer.
Yeah.
So you have to keep.
And you're not, and you haven't gone the extra mile, the extra 10%, the last 10% to really
refine
and narrow down what you're trying to say. It implies to me a disconnect where the creativity comes into play. If you can't narrow it down to a handful of words or a single image with a couple of words or whatever, to me, you haven't put in the time and effort before you're putting your money behind something like a billboard. Specifically with billboards, that's the case because you have such limited time and they're so expensive. To me, that there's a disconnect if they're poorly designed.
Mm-hmm.
Two more billboard peeves. One, when it's a digital billboard and the thing that it's displaying is primarily white with black text.
Yes.
Georgia Tech, you son of a... Right off of 7585 in downtown Atlanta, they have a billboard right on the side of the interstate, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, it will cause you to wreck your car.
Yeah.
It is awful. Oh,
but hey,
man,
it worked.
Hey, I guess that's how you get the rambling wrecks from Georgia Tech, is you literally just wreck your car.
Yep.
And then the last thing. So I'm a big proponent of high-quality imagery or high-quality whatever. I mean, I don't want to say full fake it till you make it, but if you know that the thing you're putting out is high-quality, then of course you want to present itself in a very high-quality way. I do not like when people use very obviously stock imagery that is completely different than what you're actually going to get with the final product. That's the last thing that bugs me.
Yeah.
I have some specific like things in mind I'm thinking of, primarily like restaurants.
Yeah, like when they use that taco spread for the Olive Garden. I was so mad when I got to Olive Garden I couldn't order a chalupa.
That's never happened. Maybe. But it's just, if you're going to use imagery, at least, like, I understand using stock imagery, that's great, and it's good cost savings and whatever. Try to match it up to what you do. Try to match it up to what you provide, because you're also setting expectations.
Truth in advertising.
Yeah. It'd be mildly truthful. You don't need to be fully truthful.
Yeah.
But be mildly truthful. Andrew, save me from this.
Yes, let's save us all. So, a couple of things that I got in the mail this week that I'm really excited about. One is this beautiful little piece right here. I'm going to try to make it so it's not... there you go. This is a print called Walt on Main Street. Walt on... what's it called? It's from the part of the Darkroom series. Walt's Apartment, sorry. So it's Walt looking from his apartment window down Main Street, and it looks like it's like an old like noir style darkroom photo, but it's an illustration. It's done by the Jamie twins, and they are absolutely fantastic. They have a ton of Harry Potter stuff part of this darkroom series. They have like a like seven different prints from Harry Potter. I don't want to say this incorrectly, but it might be because there's seven. I'm pretty sure there are seven.
Yeah,
there might be one from each movie. So that or one from mm-hmm. each of the years or whatever.
I was just
so,
wondering
anyway,
that. Yeah.
But this darkroom series is very, very cool. So there's a link to it in the show notes. It's really cool. And the way they do it, they come with these certificate of authenticity, and they're signed and they're numbered and everything. And the back of it is really cool. I'll just take it out of the frame. I have already framed it because that's how cool it is. But I'll show you. It prints it out like on an actual like a photo printer.
Oh, wow, that's really
like
nice.
It feels like an actual like an old school like photograph, right? That's but cool. If you look at the back, it's like. It looks like it's part of like a catalog system. Do you see that, Patrick?
Yeah,
I'm trying to like it's got nice. The little catalog sticker on the back, and then
kind of it looks like it came out of a library.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's exactly what it looks like. And then it has this certificate of authenticity that comes with it as well, where it's numbered and signed. Very very inexpensive. There's
that's
a
the Walt family logo.
The Walt family logo. No,
what was that logo on
that's,
the certificate?
That's the Jamie twins art logo.
Oh,
it is
okay.
Similar in that it's in a box like the family museum logo, but no.
Okay.
Anyway, the link to it will be in the show notes that you can get them printed in different sizes. And so depending on what size you get, we'll determine the cost that you're paying for it. Very, very cool. Their art is fantastic. Another package that I got this week was from our friend Mariana, and we talk about her quite often. She's become one of my drawing partners, and a couple of... I don't know, a month and a half ago, we brainstormed this idea together about doing a sticker for the Halloween time. Like, and she just released it, and she sent me one of them, and here it is. This is the Lonesome Ghosts sticker that she has. It's got the Ajax Ghost Exterminators, which is from an early Disney cartoon.
Do they need a billboard? Because I can come up with an exterminator.
Yes, yeah. Slogan. We just need a slogan, and that's all we're waiting for.
okay.
But this takes its idea from an early Disney cartoon where it's Goofy, Donald, and Mickey, and they are these like old timey ghost hunters, and they go into this house that's haunted, and they hunt these four ghosts, and they're called the Lonesome Ghosts. Anyway, this sticker is really fun. It's super cute. It's got the three of their heads, and it's got like an axe and a net, and it says Ajax Ghost Exterminators across the top. But then underneath it are the four ghosts, the four kind of smiley ghosts. Mm-hmm. But what's fun about it is everywhere where you see that blue, which is the ghost and like the background, is a semi-transparent sticker. So the characters, the main characters, are fully opaque, as well as like the axe and the net and the sign. But then the background and the ghosts are like at maybe like a 50% transparency. So mm-hmm. if you take the backing off of this sticker and you put it on like a bottle or something like that, you'll be able to see through the ghosts, which is super fun. And
yeah, I love it.
From what I've seen on the internet since she posted them, they're in her store now. People are going nuts for these. So I don't know how many she has. If you want to get one, they're $3. If you want to get one, jump on it, because I don't know how long they'll stick around because people are absolutely loving them. She also sent me this Robin Hood dressed as the stork sticker.
I love that one.
Which is super fun as well. Anyway, go check those out. There's a link for it in the show notes. Very, very neat. Okay, couple other things. Here's another thing that I got today, or that I got this week. Took Cooper to GameStop to trade in a game, and saw this and immediately had to buy it. It is The Mandalorian.
That's so cool.
It's The Mandalorian with the child, 10-inch pop vinyl.
That's
and
awesome.
It
chrome.
Yeah,
with
so shiny.
Chrome accessories. Yeah, all of his Mandalorian armor. This is obviously from like the end of the series when he has the full armor on.
Yeah,
it's
all
chrome
Beskar.
And shiny. Like you can see yourselves in the reflection.
Yeah, it is actually so shiny we can see ourselves in the reflection.
It's so shiny you're seeing your own reflection in the camera. But it's a 10-inch pop, so it's massive. It's
really
very
big.
Weighty. And yeah, all the Star Wars ones are going to be bobblehead because that's part of their licensing agreement. They don't have otherwise they're considered action figures, and different licensors have the rights for the action figures. These are considered novelty.
Do you ever consider just taking like a, what's that putty called?
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that for...
Just stick it around the spring and like let it harden up so it becomes a non-bobblehead.
Oh, yeah, like I've done that for one of my bobblehead pops because I have like I have a Marvel one. I don't like bobbleheads in general. So I don't have like really many of the Star Wars ones. Well, I think this is maybe the first Star Wars one I actually have. But I have done that to another pop before because it was a bobblehead. I'm not a fan of bobbleheads. But
yeah, we talked about that a while. I forgot about that. We did talk about that a few years ago, but yeah. Yes.
This one was too good. I didn't care that it was a bobblehead. It's fantastic. And the child is super cute. Like the whole thing just looks really, really good. So I'll put a link to it in the show notes. You can get it on Amazon. Amazon, they're still pre-ordered. I don't know if GameStop was able to release them earlier, if they messed up and I got mine earlier or what, but they're still pre-ordered on Amazon. So you can
Let's try this out. Okay, you ready? Your mom's a whore. Male chili lover. Pretty good, right? I'm gonna keep working on it. I'm gonna have some great billboards for us.
He's gonna keep workshopping it, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to get your hands on this shiny and new Mandalorian figure, you can absolutely do it. Just go to Amazon and you can order yours, or keep your eyes peeled at GameStop. Very, very cool. And I think there's just a couple more little things that I want to bring to your attention. Let me look at my notes real quick. Yes. Have you guys watched Jack Ryan?
Unfortunately, I've seen a couple episodes.
I know what it is, but I've never watched it.
Okay. So I had
unfortunately is fair. It's not that it wasn't good. It's just not my pace show, but I have seen a couple episodes.
So typically I would say I'm not a fan of these espionage style shows. Like I don't watch 24. I don't watch things like that, right? And this very much falls in line with that. It's Tom Clancy, but it is John Krasinski. So it's Jim Halpert in the CIA, and it's pretty cool. So I've been watching that, and season one was good. It left you on this really nice hanger of a thing. But then season two, it definitely took a little bit of a twist and a turn. I'm not going to talk about the show as much, but the intro, if you've never seen the intro video to Jack Ryan season two, you are missing a beautiful piece of like cinematography one, but then also like visual effects, how they tie these things together. Everything starts with a single image, like a boat that is like a cargo ship from the aerial view. And mm-hmm. then halfway through the scene, the screen splits and you're seeing like the bars of like a person's medals, like a military bar, and all the shipping crates become that. It's phenomenal how they tie these things together. So I would urge anybody, I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. I'm going to find a link to it and post it, but I would urge anybody to go check out the introduction, to Jack Ryan season two. I think it's like a minute and a half long, but it is a beautiful piece of video. Very, very, impressed with the team that put that together. So visually just really, really stunning. And then finally this, we are fans of Disney. We saw this video this past week. Patrick and I were sitting and talking when I stumbled across this video of a guy who was at Hollywood Studios last week. And he was an anti-masker and they were asking him to leave. And like security was escorting him out, but he was losing his mind, you know, just yelling at the top of his lungs. And someone recorded it. And typically when people are yelling about being anti-masking and all these different things, right? You've seen a dozen of these videos by now.
Mm-hmm.
They're always yelling something super profane, and it's always political, and it's always, you know, some sort of, you know, he's calling you something or she's calling that person something or whatever, right? Once I actually clicked on the video and turned the volume up, this man was quoting the movie A Bug's Life. he was yelling in the most like Disney magical way possible. Now, what he was quoting was the bad guy from A Bug's Life. So he was still the villain in this situation, but he was a part of his own Disney movie for this moment where he became the villain. And he was specifically quoting the thing about when one ant rises up, they all rise up. And so he was trying to be he was trying to be Flick in this situation, where he was trying to say, I'm not going to wear my mask, who's with me? And instead, Disney security just ushered him out of the park. But anyway, there's a link to it in show notes.
That's a triumphant way to get kicked out of Disneyland. Like,
good on him. At least he wasn't yelling the F word in front of a bunch of kids. You know, like that's great. Because that's what I assumed was happening the second I saw the video. But check out that video. It was just utter ridiculousness and also just completely magical at the same time. I loved watching it. So there's a link to it in the show notes. Okay. Other than that, wear your mask. Go vote. That's my civic duty for the week. One final thing before we transition into our master categories. Lauren and I get to participate in something that's happening this weekend over with our friends at Hero Complex Gallery. On September 26th, there will be a digital gallery opening for their very first sketch card show. And so we got to submit some pieces, and these are all going to be original pieces, one-of-a-kind pieces from artists all over the world. Lauren and I got the opportunity to send some in. How many did you send in, Lauren?
I did two.
Two? I think you I ended up four, submitting right? five, six. I think I did seven.
Wow.
Yeah, because I did three.
You only told me about four, I think.
One, two. Wait, it may. I did five. I did five. I did Roger and Jessica as like a pair. And then I did the child and Cara Dune. And then I did Goofy and Max. But Goofy and Max is on one single card.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I did like pairs.
I forgot that one.
They're all just original things. There's not a specific theme to it other than pop culture.
Mine is completely different than yours.
They're little Star
Wars themed bento boxes. So it's like really cute Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. And we've seen some of the stuff coming in already from some of the other artists. And there's some really, really cool stuff out there. As far as I know, these are all going to be one of a kind. So if you want to get your hands on them, I think you have to scoop them up pretty quickly because they're going to be gone. I don't think they're doing prints of these. I'm not sure, but I don't think they are. Anyway,
it's kind of the whole point of it.
Right. Yeah. And they're all sketch cards. So they're like tiny little, think of baseball card size.
Yeah.
Which that was the challenge for me, was trying to draw that small and get that much detail into that medium, which was super fun and challenging for me. So
I could not think of like what to do. That was so hard with no theme for me. I'm used to just like, give me any kind of topic to start with and it'll help.
Yeah. Well, yours came out great. I loved the idea of kind of keeping them confined to that box and like doing the bento box. And it was really well done. So we'll post more info on it on our Instagram. Just kind of stay tuned to that. But you can also check out hcgart.com to see more details about when the show actually debuts. And I think last time they did a digital gallery opening, they walked through and did like an Instagram live of all the different pieces. So you might want to tune into that too, but we will post more about that this week as more info comes out. But we're super excited to be included in that show. So the Hero Complex Gallery sketch card show. Stay tuned. It's going to be fun. All right. That's going to be it for our Run the Table. Up next, it's time to talk some categories. Every week we talk about things that are happening around the world in the world of pop culture. Sometimes they're new to the world and sometimes they're just new to us. Either way, that's what we're talking about. And so, Lauren, you started us off last time. Why don't you start us off again?
Okay, I'm going to keep it going then. Like I said, I spent a lot of time this week working. So most of what I've been doing is thinking of what I want to enjoy when I have free time again next week. So there's a few things that I honestly forgot were coming out and I'm super, super excited about them. So one is starting the date in between like this record date and when the episode releases or at the end of the week. But the Great British Bake Off is coming back.
I know.
I'm so excited. I mean, I think everybody loves this show. It's such a pick me up. Like, thank God this is coming at the end of 2020 and during election season. I think it will be a very nice reprieve every Friday. It is on Tuesdays on BBC if you have access to that, which I found out last year that I do have that channel in my just like cable subscription. So it's worth checking if you are interested in that show. Otherwise, it's on Netflix every Friday and I can't wait for that to come back. And they have a new host this year because Sandy left and I do not know the name of the guy who's replacing her, but I've seen him in a lot of stuff and he's very funny.
Daniel Craig.
I wish. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh my gosh. I would like just to see.
I do feel like it would be underutilizing his talents, but yeah.
I mean, it's not for very long. What else is he doing during quarantine? That would actually be like amazing if Daniel Craig became a judge. I'm just like even picturing him interacting with Noel, and it would be ridiculous. Like,
you've seen him. Okay. His name is Matt Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Lucas was, didn't he play Tweedledee and Tweedledum? And
does he play opposite Rebel Wilson as her brother in one of those movies?
He's in Bridesmaids.
Yes.
He's in Bridesmaids. He was in Alice in Wonderland. He played Tweedledee Tweedledum. I know him because he's in a sketch comedy show called Little Britain,
mm-hmm.
which
Wee Britain?
I love. And he's also in And he's also in Come Fly With Me, which is another sketch comedy show from the same team that does Little Britain. But yeah, very funny guy. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like he'll be a good fit with that crew and everything. And I just love that show.
With the other guy from The Mighty Boosh. Man, mm-hmm. I can't remember anybody's names.
His name is Noel Gallagher. I know that.
Okay. Noel Gallagher, Matt Lucas, I love Noel Gallagher.
He's so funny.
He was ranked like sexiest man in like the UK one year.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Which is bizarre because he's incredibly unattractive, but he dresses so well.
Did you ever see when he was younger? I think he like is a little worse for the wear, but he didn't used to be like unfortunate.
he grew out of it.
Okay, so next thing I want to talk about is a show that starts next Sunday, and that is Fargo. And I absolutely love Fargo, the TV show. I am on the team of everybody else who, when they brought the show up, it sounded like the worst idea ever, but it is one of the best shows I've ever seen. I still say that the first season is one of the best seasons of television that is, was, or ever will be. It's amazing. And it's an anthology show, so you do not... Oh my God, I cannot talk. It's an anthology show. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's an anthology show, so you don't need to watch any one season to like keep up with the next one. You could totally just jump into four. Like
American Horror Story?
Yeah. These do connect a little bit more obviously, like, or intentionally, but in ways that aren't like super important. Like, they'll have characters come back, you know, to do something, but it doesn't necessarily change everything knowing that they're connected. So it's just kind of interesting to know that they're connected. It's not important that they're connected. And the fourth season is going to star Chris Rock, who is amazing and has been in stuff for a while. So I'm very excited to see him. Jason Schwartzman is in it and I love him. You guys probably know because I'm a Wes Anderson fan, but he's great. And Jesse Buckley, who I've mentioned in the last 2 weeks of shows because she was in Blow the Man Down and I'm Thinking of Ending Things, will be in this show. And she's really good, so I'm excited for her to be in this show. But Fargo's absolutely amazing. Please check this show out. Like, you will not regret it. It's amazing. Have you guys ever watched it?
I just saw the preview for it last night on the Emmys, and it looked really good. This time around... You just said who like the lead is in the
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, yeah, that's right. And Chris Rock, it just looks so different than the first season. And I haven't watched the first mm-hmm. season either, but it looks so different that I was very, very intrigued. It reminded me a little bit of like a Northwestern Boardwalk Empire. That's kind of the vibe that I have you watched Boardwalk Empire?
Only a little bit of it, and I'll say that like most of the Fargo stories have to do with like gangsters and crime, kind of like the movie itself. So that's definitely kind of the vibe, at least.
Sure. So I've never seen the movie, so it makes more sense now that you're saying that, because that's what Boardwalk Empire is all about. So
yeah, and this season looks like Mafia versus Mafia, which looks very fun in my opinion. And they always are like very good at coming up with like a crazy cast of really interesting characters, and this just seems like perfect because you're gonna have like two mafia groups fighting against each other.
I mean, I've heard great things about the show. I have not seen the show. The show has been on my list to watch, and I haven't watched it. I've seen the movie Fargo, but I'm guessing this show isn't about car salesmen.
The first season has a lot of parallels, and there's like a really big connection point. But again, it's like you don't need to see Fargo to understand what this connection is or have it be important. It just like is an obvious like, oh, that's how this ties together moment.
Well, the movie's fantastic. If you haven't seen the movie Fargo, please go watch the movie Fargo. It's incredibly good.
Yeah, and I love the movie just as much as the show.
Hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's hilarious.
And the show does a really good job of capturing the kind of Coen Brothers vibe, and that's what it really like kind of is its goal, because it's not retelling Fargo. It only has this one kind of tenuous connection to that movie, so it's really just kind of a Coen Brothers TV show almost. Even though they're not involved with it, it is purely that vibe. And I love it. And then one that I'm sure you guys are both very excited about it, especially because you brought him up earlier, but The Mandalorian is coming back at the end of next month. And like, what's not, like, we just got that new trailer and like, what's not to be excited about now? Like, that looks amazing.
Yeah, when Baby Yoda sees that shit's about to go down and he like reaches over, presses the button, and then his pram closes over him. I love it. Like, it was...
My friend
watched learning.
My friend goes, oh shit, dad's mad.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's so cute. Oh, there's like so many fun teaser moments. Like, you see banthas. You see that like Star Wars wrestling ring or boxing or something like that. That looks amazing.
With Gungans in it. Not Gungans. Not Gungans. What the heck are they?
I don't know the type of alien, but like the dudes from Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
Okay. So last one, and this trailer just came out. I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, but WandaVision, which looks awesome. I'm so excited for this.
So interesting.
Yeah, so this is probably the show that I was the most excited for when they announced all of the like Marvel shows that were going to come to Disney Plus, and I'm probably the only person on earth to say that, but it's because I love Paul Bettany, number one. Like, Night's Tale is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I saw that a long time ago, and I've always followed him since then, and he's just a really great actor. So I love him as Vision, and I love that character. He's awesome. And just kind of interesting fact, like Elizabeth Olsen is somebody that my brother went to school with, so I think that's fun, and I'm rooting for her. And I like Scarlet Witch, and I like one of my favorite all-time comic book stories is The Visions, which came out a few years ago, and it's a story about Vision creating a robot family for himself and trying to live in the suburbs, kind of just acting like a normal family. Obviously, this goes horribly wrong very quickly, and it basically becomes like a horror story, and it does seem like the show kind of has some vibes of that, and it also looks like it has a lot of like House of M vibes after now seeing the trailer, and like that's one of the biggest like X-Men stories ever, and it's all about Scarlet Witch, and that's what made me like that character so much like originally, so I am very excited for this show.
I mean, I the trailer looks fantastic, but it looks fantastic because it doesn't look like a Marvel film trailer. Now I've said it many times on this show, but when we have these really well-developed universes and people and you know, we've all got such great understanding of this world, I would love to see more movies that choose to venture out stylistically. I mean, frankly, the first time that we saw that would have been with the Chris Pratt vehicle. Why did I just
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the Galaxy was That's
I thought you were trying
to
figure out the name of his ship in Guardians of the Galaxy.
No,
I got
that
really
would be
confused.
The Gundam.
Yeah.
No. Well, so that was like the first example of that of doing something that was in the Marvel world, right? But it wasn't the formula we understood up to that point. And obviously, that went on to be highly praised. And
I feel like now a lot of people crib that one
franchise. And so, to me, this seems like a possibly this, and especially looking forward to the next Doctor Strange film, at least what has been teased, we're going to get to see that again, where we start shifting out of the genre you're used to. I just hope that it doesn't stop here. You know, DC, this is probably the thing that I would praise the most about them, and the reason their lineup has, over the past maybe even 2 years, been more exciting to me is because they seem like they have more films that hit a much broader range of tones and genres. So, I would love to see, Marvel invest in that, because they've got the money to fail right now.
It's also,
they
I think
do
there
whatever
are,
they feel like doing.
I think there are examples of that, like that are kind of Marvel adjacent, like, Logan and stuff, that prove that this wouldn't be the worst idea ever to do something that's really kind of quote unquote, like off
Logan
genre.
Logan was fantastic.
Yeah. So, I would love that. And like the other shows that they've like announced on their slate for Disney Plus, like really recently, it also are exciting, is like the She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel stuff. I'm like, you could really branch out there, I think, because like She-Hulk is a really funny concept, and you could totally make like a very like comedy based, like sitcom-y kind of show where, like, you know, she's a lawyer, but she's green. So I'm kind of excited to see if they decide to take any risks with these things that are sort of different inherently.
Yeah. Yeah. Gamorrean. That's the name of that species. Gamorrean guards from the original movie. But mm-hmm. we are seeing them, or from the original trilogy, we are now seeing them in a different light. So, yeah, that was going to drive me nuts to not remember.
No
that.
Worries.
Is that you? That's all. Is that your
yeah, that's
category?
It.
All right, who are you
yeah,
tossing
that's
it
the
to?
List. Sorry. I want to hear about Tenet.
All right. So the person that I rent this house from is my tenant. Yeah. And I have to...
Did I say
wait,
it wrong?
Wait, or am I the tenant?
You are the tenant.
Oh, never mind. I'm the tenant. I don't know how this works. I don't pay my rent. I do pay my rent.
Is the movie like this kind of confusing already? Just to...
Yes.
All right. So Tenet is the latest big film. I was going to say blockbuster is not a blockbuster. It's also... I mean, it seems like it's a reasonable budget. I'm not sure. But it really, it's the latest film to come out in theaters because we haven't had a lot of films coming out in theaters. In fact, I haven't been since February, which is insane. We started getting a lot of delays. Probably, maybe first part of April is when people really started pushing out movies. And then since then, almost everything has gone digital or it's just been delayed completely. Looking between now and the end of the year, you know, we have some films that I would say are smaller films I'm excited about. Kajillionaire comes out this week, which I think the trailer looks fantastic. I'm only aware of the film because we finally went and saw Tenet. as far as big budget or big studio films, I think we have Death on the Nile and then maybe Wonder Woman 1984 hasn't been pushed yet. And I think there's Coming to America.
No Time to Die has not gotten pushed again, but they will.
But that's the thing. Like, Death on the Nile is supposed to come out in 3 weeks. With California closed and New York closed, I don't think I see that happening. So Tenet is going to be, I think, one of the biggest films we're going to get. I could see in December or November, December, us getting a couple drops. But the reality is the vast majority of things have already been pushed to 2021. So it's just a really weird landscape to look at. Now, that said, here's what Tenet has done. They've decided that, okay, well, we're going to get our movie into a bunch of theaters. And then we're just going to... It's kind of like how movies used to be, you know, instead of doing a 4 week run or a 6 week run, we're going to do a 4 month run if we need to, a 6 month run. So when a theater opens, we'll be the go-to movie for them to show. And then that audience that's clamoring to see a movie because they haven't seen something in a while, they'll have to come see our film. So they're planning on being in theaters for a while. Now Tenet has already pulled in. If you look at the worldwide box office, they've pulled in, I think, a little bit over $250 million. Although in America, I think they've only pulled in maybe $35 million, so still really, really low. But they're not going anywhere. They're planning on being there for a while. They're planning on making their money. And thanks to Hollywood accounting, it'll for sure lose money. But they'll make whatever they need to make to lose money properly. Okay, Tenet, Christopher Nolan. And if the thing is, you've probably seen a Christopher Nolan film. If you've seen Dark Knight Rises, you've seen Christopher Nolan films. But most recently, or the one we talked about a lot on the show, we talked about Inception because mm-hmm. we just had the anniversary. Dunkirk came out in the last couple of years, and which I personally really enjoyed, but it's a bit of a cinematic feat.
The Prestige.
And
that's not as
the
old,
Prestige,
but I love
that's an older one.
I didn't
but that's
realize
a film
until
that...
going to Mondo this week and or going to Alamo this week and seeing the pre-show that was Nolan.
I love that movie.
It makes sense now that I know like how like the beats of the film totally are Nolan-esque.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Memento, which is going to be an older film, but fantastic mm-hmm. film. If you're looking for something to watch and if you haven't seen it, put on Memento. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, if we're thinking in the last 5 or 7 years or so, Interstellar.
Yes, I couldn't think of that one.
Was an just beautiful. That's a film that I did not like, but I'm so glad I saw it in theaters, and I would go watch it again in theaters. It's just beautiful. Sound was incredible. The from a cinematography standpoint, it's just a grand movie. Now this is what was not Tenet because I was kind of expecting that. I was expecting more of this kind of cinema sugar. And I would say this is not a film you need to see in theaters. Now, we were lucky.
Cinema Sugar is your stripper name, right?
Yeah, we were.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Cinema Sugar to the show.
This is not Beat Daddy Starfish. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Beef Daddy.
beef Daddy Starfish.
Now, to be clear, yes, we went and saw it in public, and I know there's some people raging about that right now. We were in a 160-seat auditorium with four people. So it felt, we felt good. And Alamo,
I felt safer
was,
there than I feel in my own house.
Yeah, because your kid comes back from school every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely it was. Oh, yeah. Alamo was pre-packaging, pre-boxing all the food. They were only doing food that I think would be frozen and that had to take a lot of heat. Like, they weren't doing things that would be cold items. Everything that they were serving is something that would be high heat. They would box it. All the utensils were pre-packaged.
Even their salads were just wilty and hot.
Just gross salads. So the whole experience was very, very comfortable. And again, it was important to me to see this in theaters because I felt like it was going to be another grand show. And it just wasn't. I don't think it was a particularly beautiful film. I don't think it was particularly, you know, there were a couple shots that maybe, I mean, obviously, of course everything looks good. But I'm just saying there weren't those wow moments from the shot. Now, where I got the wow moments were from how they were pushing this plot device further. They were taking this idea that they give you in the first 15 minutes of the film or the first 10 minutes of the film, and then they were pushing how far you could take that idea. Well, what if you took it the next step? Those were the wow moments for me. So I wouldn't particularly say this is a film you need to see in theaters like I would with something like an Interstellar. I feel like that was the way to see that film. But certainly, if you haven't been to theater a while, you feel like your theater is safe, and you go at like 2 o'clock on a Friday, like we did, then maybe you can see it comfortably. And I always prefer the movie experience if it is safe. Okay, so Tenet, I can't give people's names. That's what's weird about this, because they don't necessarily give people's names. So the big thing is the main character, John David Washington. Now, he has a very similar swagger to what you would have seen in Black Klansman. If you saw Black Klansman, John David Washington is opposite Adam Driver in that film, and
that's also the same kind of swagger he brings in Ballers. He's on that show Ballers with The Rock.
Yeah, there's like a playfulness to his tone. You don't necessarily see him as a very rigid, serious person because he's just got this like this edge that he throws on. And I had expected in Tenet to see a slightly different performance, but I didn't get it. It was him. I guess this is who he is. Like it more and more feels like that's just the character he plays. And sometimes that felt a bit out of place. There were some times in that film where it worked amazingly well, specifically the dinner on the boat, which Andrew knows what I'm referring to. I'm not going to give spoilers, so I'll just do some broad things. Specifically the dinner on the boat, his character, that scene was awesome with that. But there were other times that I felt like he should be bringing something a bit more serious given who he's interacting with and kind of what his surroundings are. But again, it doesn't change. So you're going to get the same kind of character that you get from Black Klansman, even if he's wearing a $30,000 suit, he's still bringing that same type of energy that he brings. And again, it did not always work for me, but sometimes it worked super well. I don't know that I would say that it's an enjoyable movie to watch, but I think it's enjoyable as a thought experiment. If you get on board with the idea, okay? So similar to Inception, they give you this idea of, oh, you can do this thing. And then throughout the film, it's, and what if we, in this case, very, very clearly or very explicitly, what if we took that a level deeper or a level further? You know, what are the implications if we keep going further? And that is what this is. But I felt a lot more empathy for the characters in Inception. Their motivation seemed clearer to me. Mm-hmm. I could see why they behaved the way they did. And so, yes, you're seeing this idea play out, but you're seeing it play out in a way that makes their reaction to the idea very believable because of these other experiences that we know and understand from our everyday life. Whereas in this film, in Tenet, I did not develop that same level of empathy. It was hard for me to understand some of the motivations of the people. And in fact, there's a couple times in the film where they kind of ask the question, what's the point of any of this? And because of that, everything centers on that idea. Mm-hmm. So if the thing they give you, if you enjoy that thought experiment, if you enjoy peeling the layers back, if you enjoy the what ifs, you're going to like the movie. But if you don't want to be bothered with that for whatever reason, or if you just immediately feel like, well, that's dumb, you know, 10 minutes into the film, you're screwed. You're not going to like it. So that's that's kind of how I feel about the film. Now, I did end up liking it. I want to go see it again. By the time you finish the film, you have enough of an understanding of what's going on that you desperately, like in my case, want to go back, watch the beginning, and look for where are the...
the fun Easter eggy things.
Yeah, exactly. Where can we see manifestations of this thing in the mundane? That's where you get to. But you can't get to that until you've basically finished the film. So this film is going to be a film you need to watch twice.
Here's the thing. Here's where I would argue the and Nolan is great for having intention behind things, right? Like, everyone has intentions, but like, his movies always have like this weird, unique flair to them, and there's always an intent behind it, right? Mm-hmm. I would argue, and unless someone can point out to me in an interview where he explicitly says that this isn't what he was doing, this movie, the plot device that Patrick's been dancing around so much, is, I think, contingent upon a rewatch of the movie, because I think the movie in and of itself is kind of a movie that can be played out within its own plot device, and I think that's the intent of it. I think that's where you will experience some of these emotional cues, things that were relatable with characters, finding motivation for things. Going back and watching and rewatching it is almost without trying so desperately to not give anything away, right? So like, but I think it is almost the intent that you would watch it two times because of how the movie is structured. It almost warrants it.
I think, though, like we were saying before we entered this review, that a lot of his movies tend to have an idea that when you watch it again, really deepens the experience. Like The Prestige is a great example, and Memento specifically. Those two have like so much different experiences the second time you watch them.
I mean, and you will. It's a very Nolan film. You'll be able to draw kind of correlations to different aspects of the film of, oh, this is kind of the parallel to what he was doing in Inception, or this is kind of the parallel to what he was doing in this film. You'll see that. And there are definitely a lot of visual, like whether it's audio, visual, whatever, there are a lot of cues in the film to help you along. There is nothing in the film that I would say is purposefully obfuscated. I just think that the subject matter being as complex as it is.
Yeah.
It's going to take rewatches.
Well, I think
it's going to take rewatches.
The way that I described it on the way home from the trip was like, if you look at Inception as being, a mind bender of like, you have to kind of wrap your mind around this thing. This is kind of taking the idea of that and stretching it two or three more rungs down the ladder. And it's a like the truest example of a sci-fi film, not like because there's aliens or because whatever, but like science fiction, where it's using science and scientific words and scientific things, but you have to bend your mind and wrap your mind around these things that, in order for it to play with like the reality, you know, in order for you to feel like it's actual reality, you have to bend science around it. And so it's just an elevation, I think, or an extension of deeper down that rabbit hole of Inception. The concept is different. I'm not saying it's more you're in a dream world, but
I get what
just the idea that like you had to accept some things for Inception to be.
Said, like they lay out the like fake science of it. Like it's not necessarily like based in anything real, but they made their version of it have rules and limitations within a science that fits that.
It's truly a science fiction film in that regard. Yeah.
In fairness, though, the idea in Inception is such that I'm not convinced it can't really happen. Whereas the idea in Tenet cannot happen. So,
but they're still playing with the idea of like trying to take something that's pretty unbelievable, you know,
and they explain
make it feel real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, all that said, a couple other notes, just because for those that read, you might have heard this. There's a complaint. There's been full articles written online by way more trustworthy news sources than us about the audio in the film. I didn't think it was particularly tough to catch what was going on. There are two differences. One would be that the characters on screen are not talking to you. The characters on screen are talking to the other characters. That's number one. Number two, there are several different accents in the film. And so I think a lot of the complaints are less about volume and more about the pace that someone's talking. It's a more conversational pace, and they're maybe talking at that pace with an accent that you don't deal with every day. So that can be more difficult. But contextually, there's always enough going on that you can piece together what was said. There was only, I think Andrew, when we left, I said there was only twice that I flat out just missed what was being said, but both times that happened were not crucial parts of the film.
Yeah.
So
I would actually argue that it's the movie is a loud movie. But contextually speaking, it makes sense given that it's an action movie. There are some very intense action scenes and very intense action moments. And there are some times where people are wearing face masks. And so the audio itself is like their audio is muffled and it's muddled, and it is realistic in that way. They don't sound perfectly crisp and clear with these masks on. And so in that way, I think it was an intentional move for it to feel like if you are in this situation, it would be harder to hear the person who's talking to you when you're in the middle of this loud scene and people have masks on their face. So like in that regard, I think it was more realistic than it was intrusive or like off-putting, because I felt more a part of what was happening in the scene.
And the other thing that I'd point out, if you are going to go see the film, which I would absolutely recommend seeing it. I really enjoyed the film. It's probably an 8 out of 10 for me. And I was looking at some rankings of Nolan films, and consistently I would rank this film higher than most of those other rankings I was seeing. So I think it's a very solid movie, if I haven't said that. Watch it with someone else or have someone you can talk to when you're done watching it. This is a film that benefits from conversation with someone else, because inevitably you're going to miss things on the first watch that maybe your buddy picks up on. So to be able to start having that conversation is going to help you unlock things that were going on. It's going to give you some aha moments. And I think will in a large part determine your satisfaction of the film. I think if you watch it in a bubble and digest it in a bubble, you could walk away feeling very underwhelmed. So have someone you can talk to about it. And again, watch it twice. I'm already planning on, I'm hoping to see it a second time this week. I'm thinking about doing another Friday matinee to get in the second watching. But ultimately did enjoy it. Lauren, you really need to go see it so you can know what we're talking about. Well, don't worry, it'll be in the movies for the next 6 months, so you'll be able to get it sometime.
If they had it to rent, I absolutely would do it.
All right, and Drew, that is you.
Let me round the bases here with another quick game. I saw this on, I think there was an ad for it on Instagram, and that's where I saw it. And like I said, ads work on me. They for sure do if they're well designed and the thing that they're showing is interesting. And this was a situation where both things were the case. This is a game called Diblockle, and it is a two-person game by Project Genius. That's the game. Those are the game people, Project Genius. And it is, if you guys look at the link in show notes, I think it would benefit you guys as I'm talking about it to be seeing what I'm talking about, because it's kind of hard to describe. It is a wooden board that has channels in it where the blocks set down inside of these channels. So it's a multi-layer wooden board. Each player, it's a two-player game. Each player gets 4 wooden blocks, and they're not just cubes. They're kind of cubes with angular edges. One player is like the blue player. The other player is the yellow player. But it's a strategy game where you are You have to roll the blocks first, and whatever way they land, you have to place them inside of this playing board, this wooden playing board, and there are markings on each side of the blocks. I hesitate to call them dice. They're not dice.
They do look like dice.
They have these different... They do look like dice, but they have these unique markings on them that are all all monoline artwork. And I don't know exactly how the game functions yet, but you have to move the blocks on the wooden board by rotating them. So they kind of rotate one direction, to the right or to the left or whatever. Like, you can only rotate it. You can't like pick it up and turn it around and put it whichever way you want to go. And you're trying to maneuver your blocks to get onto special markings on the board by displaying, I think it's a star on both. You have to get the star on the top of your on the top of your block and for it to rotate on top of the marked star on the actual board. And so you get points for that. So the game is not out yet, I don't believe. I think it is out. When I first saw this last week, it was not out and available, but it is now available. Oh. You can get it on their website. So I'm going to purchase this game. Excited to play it. I like these little two-player games. I'm picking up a couple of these two-player games recently, which is nice because I have a lot of multiplayer games, but these are like head-to-head. Let me read to you what the description of the game.
It kind of looks like a checkerboard or something like that. So, like, I get why this would be, like, a two-person kind of game.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me read you the... Deblockel is a casual strategy game of tips and turns. Flip your blocks into adjacent squares and then move them across the board according to the symbol that lands face up. Okay, so each symbol has a different meaning, and the meaning tells you what you can do on your next turn with that block. That's what it is. Be the first player to successfully remove all of your blocks by maneuvering them onto the star square, and you win. Okay, so the star, there's four different images. The star only rolls face up when tipped into star square. What? Only rolls face up when tipped into the star square. I don't know what that means. The cross, hop one square in that direction, just up or down, left or right. There's like this stop sign looking thing, and it says turn stops when rolled face up. Okay, so you have to stop your turn. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is an X shape, and it's hop one space in any diagonal direction. So what the
I
direction?
I think there's a star on the board, and if you roll that piece and the star lands face up in the star slot, you like pull out the piece or something.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you don't roll them into the board. I don't think you roll them into the board. I think you roll them... Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I have to wait until I get my hands on it.
We don't know, but it looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful. Yeah. It looks so cool, and it's unique. And yeah, the pieces are wood.
Yeah, it looks like something you would find like at Hogwarts or something. Like, it looks magical, sort of. Like, it looks really cool because it's all made out of wood and stuff.
It looks like a game you could leave on your coffee table. Mm-hmm. Like, you could leave it out. Like, you know that pegboard game that you play at
Chinese checkers or whatever?
Well, no.
Mancala.
No. But yes to both of those things. But what I was thinking is from Cracker Barrel. They have that little wooden triangular game where you're pulling And you just kind of leave that out so that people can pick it up and play it. And they just kind of stay out as like kind of a knick-knacky kind of game. This looks like a game that you could leave out, and like a chessboard that you could kind of leave out and people could pick it up and play. You don't have to always put it back on the shelf. So yeah.
Are you allowed to say Chinese checkers?
That's the name
Lauren
of the game.
Is because she's you're 1/122nd of like Chinese, I believe, right?
Yes, sure. But like that's what that game is called. It's not racist. You're so
Shalarin.
You're so
I don't know what's racist. As a white male, I do not know what is racist.
And it's probably best white for you to assume male. Everything is racist, Patrick.
That's what I assume. Everything
your,
is racist.
For your part, I think it's best to assume that everything is. So anyway, you know how I am with games. They're like Pokemon. I have to collect them all. But this one is absolutely beautiful. it's only $25, and it's gonna make for hopefully a great addition to the shelf. But Deblockel, the link for it is in our show notes. With that, you can find all of the links to the things that we talked about in our show notes. Go to mof1.network, and while you're there, you can find our Maker's Dozen, which is still going strong. And these things are super fun. We have some ideas for some things we're going to do with some of the past Maker's Dozen people, but we have some new people coming out every week. Check those out. They're super fun. The Pondering Potter podcast, which we're getting close to being at the end of that series, but you can find all the episodes there. Just go to mof1.network and find them there. What else can you do? You can join the Slack channel on there where you can hang out and chat with us throughout the day or throughout the evening. Depends on where you're at. There's people from all over the place talking all the time. And what else? Is there other stuff? Oh, you can buy a pin. You can buy our artist series pin. We talked a lot about Inception in this episode. Go get the pin that inspired the movie. That's how that works, right?
Yes.
Go to mof1.network to do that. And you can go and pick up the, you can support the show by going to patreon.com/mof1podcast to support the show on there as well. Like, rate, subscribe, review, all those things. They're tremendously helpful.
Could you say that one more time? I don't know that people heard that. Say that all
again. Oh, let me say that one more time. Like, rate, review, subscribe to both of our shows. And that's so helpful. It doesn't cost any money, but it's very, very helpful. If you want to bypass doing that and then send us money, like that's cool. That's cool. But if you want to do something for free that's also helpful, just do that. And that's all you have to do. We're going to have some giveaway stuff again here very shortly. I was going through my closet and found a couple of really cool things that are just collecting dust in my closet that I want to give away that are toys. We might have to do something with the rating and reviewing. So hop over and do that now if you want to be involved in some of those giveaways. Anything else that I'm missing? I feel like that's all the things, right?
Yeah, I think you got it all.
I can't think of a single another billboard.
Patrick has not heard another word that we have said the rest of this episode. He's been thinking of billboard ideas the whole time. So on that note, we're going to hop out of this episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
Bye.